Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to say a word of appreciation to the brethren who are preaching and taking the services while I was away last Lord's Day morning, Reverend Sterrett and Reverend Valenciano. Well, hopefully, brother, you're soon the Reverend Valenciano, but Brother Roger, we appreciate his work, and Dr. McClellan this morning. And it's a joy to be able to be assured that these brethren has be able to go away, and they faithfully hold up the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our loving Father, as we are still now in thy presence, and the word is open, I pray, O God, that thy Spirit will come with power to our hearts. Forgive, I pray, every sin, and cleanse us from all iniquity. Lord, we are reminded that if we regard iniquity in our heart, that our prayer will not be heard. And so may we be clean vessels, sanctified and ready for the Master's use. Dear Lord, bless the word we have read already at the commencement of our service and here now. And dear Father, I pray that the word will come with power to every heart. Lord, I need strength to deliver that word with authority, clear words. Lord, everyone here needs understanding to put into practice those things that are written. Dear Lord, come to us now in the time of our need, and bless us, for we ask all these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Last time we were together, we were thinking about the race, the marathon of faith. And it really is simply an expression that is given for the life that each Christian lives. And the Bible calls it a race of faith. And the idea is given because we are to be competitors in this life that we are to live. And the Lord has set us on this journey, we could say in this competition. And He has done so not by our own charges, but He has given to us the Holy Spirit as our guide through life. And yet so often we have to say, as the hymn writer did, days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. And that's so true. And we sometimes wonder, why is there a disconnect between what we read in the Scripture and what we have read in Hebrews 11, for example, of the many who have faithfully followed the Lord and have served Him in their life. And we look at our own experience, and so often it seems to be disjointed. It's not that way. Well, let me reassure you, if there is reassurance to be found in this, that those of Hebrews 11 and all the saints that have gone before us have faced the same struggles and trials that you and I face today. And they face the same roadblocks. They face the same challenges. Perhaps the details of them could be different, but the actual essence of them is not different. It is the same. And child of God, tonight I want to encourage your heart as we take the opening words of verse 2 as our text, looking unto Jesus, three very basic words. And yet as we've come through this study of Hebrews so far, this is where it is all being pulled together for us. You see, because the people of chapter 11, the witnesses, if you like, that the Lord is holding up for us as an example, men and women of faith. He is telling us here that their faith was not something that was out there, something that was uncertain, something that did not have an object to it. But the object of their faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, the object of our faith tonight is placed in the same place. It is on Christ. It is in Him. And so, as the Lord would exhort us in our own pilgrim journey, in our own marathon race, there is a goal that we are to be looking toward. And the object of our faith, the goal of this race, is looking unto Christ. Because as we view Him in the right way, why, the Lord will enable us, He will strengthen us, He will help us. And though often our life may seem a bit like a roller coaster experience of being close to the Lord for some time on the mountaintop, and then you come through some circumstance and you're down in the valley again, why, it's a repeated story. And it's what all of us go through. But the Lord is saying, no matter whether there is persecution that comes, no matter whether there is difficulty or disappointment from the inside, what is the great antidote for this? What is the great perspective that we are to have? It is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so tonight, I pray that for the time we have left, the Lord will give help in speaking this word, and the Lord will bless your own soul as you receive this food and meat in your heart this evening. Do you know the first thing that's important for us as we consider this? If we are going to look to Jesus, where are we going to find Him? The only place that you and I will find the Lord Jesus Christ is as He is revealed to us in God's holy word. And that may sound so basic, so elementary, that it doesn't even have to be stated. Ah, but my friends, it is so important for us to be reminded of this truth again. To be reminded that of all the places that you think you will find the Lord, He is only going to be shown to us in God's holy word. And this must be emphasized today because we are living in a time of great confusion. And great confusion where people are trying to find fulfillment for themselves, and they will even use the Lord's name to find that fulfillment. But are they looking in the right place? People are saying, look, here is Christ over here. Look, here is Jesus over here. And that is no different from what the Lord warned us about. He said, in the end times, or in the last days, men shall come, people will rise up, and they will preach to you, they will teach you and direct you, look over here is Jesus. Look over here is Jesus. And so what I'm saying to you is the deceptive strategy of the devil, which is nothing new for our time, but we have to be reminded that these things are there and they're going to confront us continually in our Christian walk. The attack and the attempt of the devil to divert our focus, to take us away from seeing the Lord as He is revealed to us only in the Scripture and not in our imagination. The Lord is not going to be revealed to us by visions. He's not going to be revealed to us by education and through education, strictly speaking. He's not going to be revealed to us through entertainment. And my, there are some bizarre notions today about where people will find Jesus. And they will pacify themselves as, I am happy with the little Jesus that I will create. And He becomes to them an idol. He becomes to them a god of their own making. And they are quite happy to use the name of Jesus, the name of Christ, and yet they establish and set up an idol. And they will say, look, here is Jesus in my entertainment. Here is Jesus in the God that I am going to make in my own life. And Christian, you and I must be careful about this because we might not be so distracted by an idol. We're not going to be led astray by someone who bows down in maybe a temple somewhere. But it is possible that you and I can be diverted from the correct focus and attention that we are to have of the Lord and who He is in His righteousness and holiness and purity if we allow ourselves to be so influenced by the culture that we are part of. There is a great danger. And we must beware that we are not deceived by this in any way. And why do I say this? Because, my friends, there are mega churches around today. There are great movements that propound that they are speaking for the Lord. They are telling us that they are prophets that are telling the truth of God's Word. And we need to be like the Berean Christians to examine the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so or not. Because sometimes you and I can become confused and we wonder, am I really on the right course? Am I really doing the right thing? I'm hearing so many contrary voices that are coming into me, and we become a little bit destabilized. We become uncertain as to, are we going in the right direction or not? The devil loves to plant seeds of doubt in our hearts. And if he can plant a seed of doubt, helping us or leading us to think, you're really not looking in the right place for the right remedy, then we can become very uncertain and unstable. And we go to take a step forward and we wonder, is that the right step forward? And so we step back a bit and then we go to step forward and back and we don't have any sense of direction. There's no certainty about what we're doing. And so I'm saying that to you tonight and saying it to my own heart because we must again be confirmed in our devotion to the Savior as He is found to us in the Word. The Apostle Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And as the Apostle Peter saw the Lord in His human form, as He touched Him with His hands, as He spoke with Him and heard the physical human words of Jesus, he saw the Lord in His human form, and very few people have done that throughout the course of human history. But the Apostle Peter said, yes, though we have seen Him and touched Him and heard Him, we will know more about Him through the sure word of prophecy that reveals the mind of God and the mind of Christ and the heart of the Lord and the fulfillment of His work that He came to do. And we're going to see it in the Bible. I exhort you and encourage you in your daily Bible communion and fellowship with the Lord that each time you come to read the Scriptures, you would pray, O blessed Spirit of God, reveal the Savior to me through the Scripture. And as you're reading, and it may not be in the New Testament you're reading, it may well be in the Old Testament, and you're going through the book of Leviticus, and sometimes those Old Testament books, and because of the nature of them, it's sometimes hard going. Well, what is it that will bring light to those areas where we find a little bit tough to navigate through them? I will tell you, my friend, it is seeking the Lord and praying that He will show you from the Scriptures the Lord Jesus. And how and what assurance do I have that that will be the case? Because Christ Himself said, in the volume of the book it is written of me. And when He told those two men on the road to Emmaus that truth, He was saying to them, if you want to know me intimately, if you want to know more about who I am and the work that I've come to do, you will find it, my dear friends, on the pages of the Word of God. And so a strong Christian is going to be a Christian who is strong in the Word. And a weak Christian will be a person who is ignorant of the Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul spoke in Corinthians of those who were carnal Christians. The word really means Christians of the flesh. And that term is rather broad in the New Testament, and it refers to the old nature, the old man, the old ways. And when a person is brought out of darkness and are saved by the grace of God and brought into faith, into salvation, yet there can still be, as there is in every one of our lives, the elements of the world, and we are progressing in sanctification, growing to be more like Christ. But if we are not careful, and if we allow ourselves to be influenced by the culture and the world that we live too much of a degree, and if we are not seeking the Lord in the Word of God, in our daily fellowship and meditation with Him, then we are going to lose out. And we are not going to grow. We will not be strong. If we do not feed ourselves upon the Savior from the Scriptures, then we will be very weak indeed. And if we do not eat our daily food, how weak would we be, unable to go forward in the journey? And for the marathon race that we are to run, there must be nutrition in us. And spiritually speaking, the nutrition we need is found in the Bible. It's found as we feed upon the Savior through the Scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our view of the Lord and where we will find Him, it must come from His holy Word. You know the great theme that was revived from the Protestant Reformation was sola scriptura. It was the Bible alone. And you and I will find that the feeding that you and I need for our faithful walk with the Lord, it is taken from God's holy Word. And we do not want to marginalize or set aside the Word in any way. We pray that our hearts will be open before the leading of the Holy Spirit, for He will speak to us through the Scripture. And we are called to be interpreters of the Word ourselves, and as we come to read and the Holy Spirit will help us to understand, yes, He gives us pastors and teachers. Yes, He gives to us those men of God who have written much upon the Scripture, and we will be directed and helped, but always through the oversight of God's Spirit leading us, that you and I, my dear friends, will see the Lord in all His risen glory, that we will feed upon Him, that we will know Him more and more in our own hearts. But not only, my friends, are we going to see the Lord in the Scriptures, we must look to Christ by faith alone. And again, that sounds like, well, it's so basic, it does not even have to be stated. But that is not sadly the case. Because too often, our humanness We are overcome by issues of the world and of work and of family, and we are so prone to be led astray. But the Lord commands us and tells us in His Word that if we are going to look unto Jesus, it must be with the eye of faith. But of course, that is the whole essence of what this has been. We've been talking about in Hebrews 11. And as the apostle is wrapping this up together, he is telling us that the object of your faith must be clear in your mind. And if we are going to see the Lord Jesus, we must look unto Him through the eye of faith. The Old Testament tells us, "Look unto Me, saith the Lord, all the ends of the earth, and be saved." Could I say a word to you tonight, if you're here in this meeting or listening online, and you're not a Christian, you've never come to Christ before? Could I express to you and say to you how important it is, my dear friend, for you to call upon the Lord and to repent of your sin and to seek Him with all your heart? And as you do that, you will only be able to come to the Lord through faith. The eye of faith is the work of the Holy Spirit that is given to you in your heart. And the Lord, as He gives to you the gift of faith to believe on Him, and as you call upon Christ to be your Savior, it is not going to be by your own works that you please God. You're not going to be able to give to Him anything you have of your own heart or righteousness, but you're going to come only by faith. And Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that, my dear friends, is salvation. It is being justified. It is knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that we have been given eternal life and that we shall never perish. Paul says in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I ask you tonight, do you have a seat reserved for you in heaven? Is there a place with your name on it? Do you know tonight that if you were to die this very evening, that you would be absent from your body and present with your Lord? You see, that assurance and faith of faith can be known. You can have that hope in you. And that hope is not something that is going to be escaping, but it is the hope that the Holy Spirit gives before He reaffirms that in our own souls, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. And I say to you tonight, look unto Christ by faith for salvation. Because as you call on Him, as you confess your sin unto the Lord, He has promised that at the sound of your voice, as you call to Him from your heart, that He will respond to you tonight. My friend, I don't know where you stand with the Lord this evening, but I would say to you, do not delay and put this matter off. For none of us know what a day will bring. And none of us know when will be the last breath that we breathe or the last step that we take. And how vital it is to be sure, for you to be absolutely certain that you know the Lord as your Savior. That what Jesus did on the cross, dying in your place and dying for you, you will have received that hope and that work that He did on your account. And you receive Him by faith. Have you looked unto Jesus? Are you at this present time, my dear friend, looking to Him? You know, as we think about what the Savior has done for us in our own lives, we are not to look to our circumstances. We are not to look to those things that are going on around us. You know, the whole secret of a happy and of a contented life in Christ, it is this basic understanding of what Jesus has done for us and of knowing our union in Him. Because the more a Christian understands what our justification means and what it means to us being so bonded to Christ that we cannot ever be removed from that position, it therefore gives to us great assurance. And let us therefore continue in the look of faith to the finished work of Calvary and to see where we stand in our justification before Him. And oh, my friend, the more that we feed upon the Savior, the more we will be able to face the temptations of the devil that He brings against us. Oh, there are so many examples for us of those that have looked to the Lord in their time of need. I think of Abraham as he was called to sacrifice Isaac. That greatest trial of his life, how could he have faced such a thing? How could Abraham have ever gone down that road? Did he do it in the power of his own strength? Did he do it in the power of his flesh? No, my friend, he did it by faith of looking unto Christ. Because as Abraham was able to turn his eyes upon the Lord and to see that God's purpose in his life was greater than what he could understand, and he had faith to believe that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead after he had been sacrificed, Abraham was looking unto Jesus. He was looking unto the Lord for the finished work that Christ Jesus had done for him. And oh, my friends, there is so much for us here in this verse of Scripture. And as we think about the Lord being the author and the finisher of our faith, those are two very important words. The word author, it means that He is to bring us to the point of our destination. He is the one who has the origin, the founder of our faith. And it's not something that is formed or done in us by ourselves. Our faith was not something that we brought to the table, so to speak. And the Lord just said, well, here is my Son. Now it's up to you to believe in Him. If that was the case, none of us would ever be in heaven because we have no light. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. But I'm thankful tonight that Jesus, He is the author of my faith. And my faith finds its root in Him. It finds its origin in Him. It finds its beginning in the One who is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the ending, the first one and the last one. And if your faith tonight, my dear friend, is founded in Christ, then your faith has begun in Him. But it says not only is He the author, as salvation is of the Lord, but He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one who has brought it to completion. And He will bring it to the day until we are gathered into glory. For once we are in heaven, faith is no longer needed. Faith is only necessary here and now. And yet when we think about that term more generally, the author and finisher of our faith, it is speaking about all that relates to our salvation in the Savior. All that relates to eternal life and the message of truth and hope. And Christ Jesus is the one who has done it all. It is all to Him that I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He has washed it white as snow. He is the one to whom we depend on, the great object of our faith. My friends, we're tempted at times to trust in our own arm. We're tempted at times to trust in the arm of the flesh. But we have found and proved that ourselves and our own thoughts and reasonings and our planning, well, the Lord tells us in Proverbs 3, verse 5, lean not unto thine own understanding. Because every time we lean to our own understanding, we find it is a very broken stick. We cannot do that. But we are called to depend not on self, but on the Savior. And we are made up of a community of believers, and the Lord exhorts us to have fellowship one with another in Him, but it's good. And we're in the house of the Lord tonight for the purpose of fellowship and worship. But you know, when it comes right down to it, we are not called to look to other people, even as strong as they might be. As the author and finisher of our faith, we are to look to Christ. Now that does not mean that we are not to draw encouragement from the examples of others, as Hebrews 11 gives us ample example of that. We are indeed to look to these things and to draw encouragement from them, but when it comes right down to it, the only hope and help that we have is that our eyes are turned upon Jesus, to look to Him. So we dare not look to ourselves and to other people. Sometimes we're tempted to look to the obstacles that are in our way, and they distract us from seeing the Lord. And the obstacles are sometimes great. They sometimes seem to be us insurmountable. And we're amazed by them. We're overwhelmed by them. The objects in front of us, we think, well, I can never get over this. There's no way that I'm going to be delivered or get around this. And we bring those, our weaknesses, to the Lord, and we look at our obstacles, and we think, Lord, I'm finished. I cannot go on. What are we to do then? Don't look at the obstacle. Do not look at the temptation that's in front of us. But rather, my dear friend, look beyond and see the greater purpose that God, the Savior, has in our lives. Because as looking to Him and looking unto the Lord, we're going to have hope and help and deliverance. For the Lord has promised that to us. Sometimes we think that by seeing the victories that we've had in the past, those things will help us in the future. And I guess to some degree, we are encouraged by those things where we have proved the Lord in the past. And I don't say by any means that we should forget them. We should always have a spirit of thankfulness to God for what He's done in our lives. What this generation is so given over to thanklessness, but we want to come to thank the Lord for His mercies in helping us and encouraging us. But there's also a danger of looking to the victories that we have had in the past, thinking that those will be the way, the means of strengthening us through the next problem we have. But that's a mistake. Because the only deliverance for us and the only hope for us to get through, it's going to be, my friend, of feasting, of viewing and seeing the Lord anew, afresh. And that's why we are challenged to read the Scriptures and to commune with the Lord anew every day. Because we need Him. We need Him in our hearts. We need Him in our lives. We need Him in our ministries. We need Him in this church. We need more than ever that every one of our hearts will be turned away from our problems and our trials and even the victories we have had, and to look only and solely unto the Son of God for our help and our future. My friend, is that where we are today? Ask yourself this question in your own heart, your own soul. Is this where I am today with the Lord? Or am I walking at a distance? Is there some great object that's in front of me that's stopping me from seeing and knowing God's best in my own heart and life? He is the one who is the author and the finisher for us. We are also to look to the Lord constantly. It's not to be a one-time view. We are to keep our eyes upon the Lord. This word looking has the meaning of turning of the eye away from other things to gaze with intensity, to look intently upon the Lord. And so it's not something we could say is just a casual or passing glance. It's when you have your attention fixed upon an object. And in a spiritual sense, our eyes by faith must be fastened upon the Son of God. And as we are drawn to see Him, we are to look to His holiness. We are to look to His beauty, His compassion, His kindness. We are to look to the way in which He lived. John tells us, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as Christ walked." And so as children of the Lord, we are to observe and view Christ. Well, how are you going to see Him? We didn't watch Him as He walked through Bethlehem or Jerusalem. So we are going to see Him as He is revealed to us in the Gospels, as He is revealed to us in the book of Isaiah, as we've read tonight. And the more we see Him by the power of the Holy Ghost, our gaze will be continually upon Him. We are to look long. We are to look intently to the cross, to the Son of God. Because, you know, when we do that, the coldness that so often grips us and freezes us, that coldness will be driven away. And we will know the fire and the warmth of the Holy Spirit showing to us more and more of Him. Because you see, the more we behold Christ, the more we are being made into His image. And it's a mystery. We can't really explain and define how that thing happens within us because it's the work of the Holy Ghost. But He does tell us that the more we are seeing the Lord in the Scripture, the more we are being made like Him. And one day, when we behold Him in glory, John tells us we will see Him as He is. We are made like Him. And that's the great anticipation that we have. That's what we aspire to. And I pray that the Lord will help us because, oh, we have so many deficiencies in our own hearts. And as we look at our own souls, we can see plenty there. And we don't need to look into the backyard of someone else. We have enough weeds ourselves to pull out. Therefore, believer, I pray that we would seek the Lord with all our hearts. And we would call upon Him and that He would help us to walk faithfully with the Savior. The hymn writer said, "O Christ, in Thee my soul hath found, and found in Thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee." We're going to close our service by singing a hymn. It's "O Pilgrim Bound for the Heavenly Land." Never lose sight of Jesus. And I think as you watch those words, and as we think upon that in our own heart, it is a word for us. My dear Christian, let us keep our eyes by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our marathon run, in our pilgrim journey. Let's stand, please, as we sing number 516. Let's bow, please, before the Lord in prayer. I wonder, friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you've never called upon Him to be your Savior, and I would exhort you by the authority of God's holy word, and I would stand before you and say, look unto Jesus. Right where you're standing, right where you are, you can call upon Him. If you're at home watching the service online, then I exhort you as well to just seek the Lord with your heart tonight. Repent of your sin. Call upon Him. Maybe someone here tonight also has maybe not been walking with the Lord the way you know you should. Heart's been cold and hard. Maybe you've lost your joy in Christ. Maybe there's no more happiness or excitement about reading the Scripture. Well, friend, tell the Lord about it. Just tell Jesus about it. Because as we do, He will find Him to be willing and ready to forgive, to heal, to comfort, because our Savior is a great Savior. Lord, I pray tonight that Thy holy word would be so written on our hearts that we will not soon forget it. Lord, I pray that a deeper work of grace would be done in every heart. Those who are unsaved, save them, Lord. Bless that young girl who professed faith this morning, strengthen her own heart and be with her. And dear Father, I pray that each one of us would desire and determine to go on with Thee from strength to strength, or we might have to say from weakness to strength. But Lord, do that work in our hearts, we pray. So part us now in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.